But I did have to go through all of that to end up here, to not want to just be a stoner sitting around doing nothing, because I've been sitting around doing nothing for so many years on the opiates they gave me. So right there,
Yes.
there's the big myth. This is not what, like, medical marijuana is not going to make you sit around eating, playing video games all day. It gives you the chance to actually have an active life.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Origami VanCast. I'm your host, Steve Coleman. Today, I have a very special guest. I visited Jen in Pennsylvania coal country late this fall and spent a couple days at her home, parked in front of her home, at her and her husband's home. And, you know, got to spend some time with her in person rather than we met at an online forum. And we got to share some stories, our medication routines and experiences. I met Jen just as I got off of fentanyl, and just as she was worsening in her own condition and having a morphine pump implanted into her body. You know, it was tough to hear her from afar begin to go through this as I began to develop cannabis for just for pain control at that time. But, you know, when it as she tells her story, there'll be a point where she, you know, where she began to also use cannabis. And I helped her get started with that just a little bit. And, you know, I'll take a little bit of credit for that, I guess. But what I'm definitely most proud of, and what I appreciate most, and what definitely means really in some ways even more than Jen's own thanks, which is, you know, she always thanks me every time I see her. But her husband Brian also thanked me for helping to get his wife started and to kind of you know, give him his wife back. And that was really you know, a touching moment for me, and you know, just being able to help the person in pain is my goal. But you know, the rest of the person's family, you know, my family, for instance, also suffer, and there's really not much that you can do for your own family, but maybe you can help others, or at least maybe that's my experience. So anyway, this particular segment of this interview, there's three segments here, and this first segment really fits mostly within the cannabis usage and tutorial purposes of this show. So to be honest with you, until a few days ago, as I began to really learn more about the details of the endocannabinoid system, I really have been kind of, you know, self-conscious of sharing this information with you. I've used a lot of heavy-duty drugs over the years, all under prescription and all to address my chronic pain conditions, which originate from that motorcycle accident and a life of, you know, abuse to my body, basically. But I've never had any that I smoked, and I never smoked before, and you know, definitely the whole legal jeopardy that this puts you in and all of the machinations of getting through. I mean, anybody that says that it's legal and dismisses your ability to get these drugs easily is just plain not in the know. If you want to be brutal and call this charged words and things, you could call it freebasing. But what I'm freebasing are cannabinoids. And given that I am treating my endocannabinoid system, which I assume is definitely out of balance somehow, what I'm doing is cannabinoid therapy. And, you know, you'll get to catch a little bit of a glimpse of that in this first segment as we, as Jen and I get our days, get our bodies squared away for the day. This is the most important medication of the day. I'm bringing this information to you so that you have it and can judge it for yourself. I definitely am not suggesting that anybody do anything based on my words, other than go inform themselves.
I thought we could start off this morning by, I brought you my guest bong.
You have a guest bong.
And that's my original bong that I bought in Burlington Vermont, but yep, I bought it at an art gallery, and I used it for flower. You know, it was my primary bong and everything until once I got out to California. Once I started van life, I went to pick up some flower actually for myself and for a lung cancer patient. I made a run from Nevada over to California to pick some up, and I got this free extra bong. But the lung cancer patient, I got it for her. I got it for free, you know, and so I was going to give it to her, and she's like, she couldn't breathe, you know, yeah. She couldn't take a deep breath. So,
yeah. I have not had experience with bongs until since college, and I didn't know that any bong could be an E. What do you call it?
The electric nail is just the part that goes in place of the bowl.
Yeah. And any bong could be turned into an electric.
Pretty much.
Eliminate the combustion, right?
Yeah. It has an adapter that'll fit, you know, a few different sizes. And then you can flip this around backwards. And so it'll fit male or female. And they're pretty much all this way. They're pretty much just a heating element with a little bowl on it. And I don't remember, last time I was here, did you take a dab off of this? So you kind of know
so
how it works.
So the last time you were here is the first time I've seen or used a bong since college. Yes. And I never thought those days were long past, but I didn't imagine I'd be doing it for medical purposes. But yes,
yeah,
does work differently than the cartridges or anything else.
It's a water filter is primarily for me, you know.
Yes.
And but it does concentrate it and make it to, when I originally did this, what I decided, what, you know, for the effects that I get out of it, it's kind of all at once or nothing. I know pretty quickly when I inhale if it's got enough CBG in it to make it work and if my other medicines are right. So I just decided whenever I bought this, like, hey, it would just be most efficient if I can take it like a dose.
Yeah.
So you just fill up the bong, you know, and take the hit, and there
you go.
Do
you need more alcohol pads?
No, I'm just kind of wiping this up a little bit.
He is wiping it down with an alcohol pad to sanitize it. For those of you listening at home, we cannot see what we are doing.
Yeah. I'm just cleaning it up a little bit.
Cleaning it
from
up.
From handling purposes.
It.
But it does need some water in it. I don't know. I'll go fill it up. So I'm going to... You know what? I've had you on mute this whole time.
Oh, what?
Is that better?
Yeah, now I can hear myself better. Bump. I've been on mute.
All right. Yeah. But I've been on an Omni, so you can hear me. We could hear you in the background, I'm sure. But
now you could hear me a little better.
All right. So now that we're there, I'm going to mute my channel. And you want to pause this for a second? I'll fill this up with water.
Sure. All right. So
I'm going to put my microphone back in.
I hear you.
Cool. Okay. And we're recording. So let me turn the nail down. It defaults to 710. I turn it down to 525.
525 is the normal temperature that you usually use?
Yeah, as far as, so this is a Redline Pro e-nail, and I don't know that these are too indicative of the actual temperature. Everybody says that e-nails are all different, and I can go into that, some of the other ones that I've used. This one in particular, the range that I seem to get the best effect for the CBG stuff is between about 500 and 550, and you can really tell, like with CBG, you'll notice when you put the isolate in, it's almost like, and I found concentrates and even flower are this way too if they're high in CBG. CBG is almost like an oil or something. It's heavier, and when it boils off, it's kind of like greasy in the bowl and it sticks around at the end. So it tends to be the CBG heavy side of hits. What I've noticed is it seems to be like at the end of the hit.
Okay.
So you want to make sure that you use like have you used the dab caps and stuff or vape caps?
Yes, we did last time.
Yeah, you know about this vape cap? So let's see. Why don't we, you know, I hadn't really planned on doing this. I hadn't really thought, I just, you know, you're going to try the CBG. I'm going to hook you up to try it out.
Fantastic.
Yeah, but let's think about the order.
My back is quite sore today. I did medicate when I woke up at 6 a.m. as I normally would. I took two hits off my cartridge, and I would normally have medicated off a cartridge again by now. So I waited to try the CBG.
Yeah, it's 8:50 in the morning here on Thursday, and Yeah, I haven't had anything except overnight. I took my Neprenol, which is an over-the-counter supplement. So what I have today that we're going to try, I bought both of these from Industrial Hemp Farms online. They have a distillate, which is, so it's 99.8% total cannabinoids. It's 88.7% CBG and 12% CBD. So it doesn't have any THC. You can buy this off the internet.
And it's completely legal.
And but so it really fouls the nail. I mean, this stuff, one dose of it makes the nab the nail dirtier than a few grams of dispensary extract. You know, I mean, it's quite. So I don't feel great about that. Anyway, I'm telling you that it's what did I say, like 12% CBD?
Can I look at it?
Sure. Doesn't smell like much.
It looks
it's
like
actually
a meteor
okay.
Rock.
Or
yeah.
Doesn't really.
Since we're talking about it, I'd take a picture of it and put it on the website.
Yeah, it kind of just looks like a rock, like that you would find on the ground.
Yeah. Let's have a look at the. Can we turn?
Oh yeah.
So I'll take a picture of this.
Maybe like a little, like a Himalayan salt rock, but a little darker.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So that's the CBG distillate, they call it, which is a little bit weird. Normally when you get a distillate, it's almost always a pure liquid. The isolate is a straight up white powder.
Isolates are usually powder for the most part.
So it's just like, it looks just like CBD isolate, mm-hmm. but this is CBG.
Okay.
With CBD, I have taken the powder and mixed it into propylene glycol and then made vape juice with it. What do you do with the powder? You put it in your nail?
The powder, I vaporize it in the nail, and that's what's been working for me, and I found, you know, really specific temperatures and everything. I mean, that's a good point. I'm hopeful that if someone else finds CBG useful and they want to try it through an edible pathway or through, so this stuff is like $20 a gram if you buy 5 grams of it. So this is again
super
from
cheap.
Industrial.
And I already know I have ways of making it into ways I can use it that I don't need to go to the expense of buying an e-nail, hopefully.
As long as, I'm not sure that it still works necessarily, but it's worth trying.
It's worth trying for $20.
If you buy 1 gram of it, it's maybe like $35 a gram. But so this is at least 95% CBG.
Wow.
Whereas I've been traveling all over the country, as you know, to find marijuana strains that have any CBG in them.
Right.
And 5% is a lot,
you can't find them.
You can pay $90 or $100 a gram.
Yeah, it's a lot, you can't even find it. The most I've seen in one of the strains I bought here in Pennsylvania, I think is two. I think I read out to you was 2.8. CBG.
Yeah. That's
pretty high.
I've seen, you know, maybe a couple ever that were 5%, and then but even from Industrial Hemp Farms, you can buy flower too if you want to. That's like 30%.
Wow.
CBG. But I find the isolate, you know, is super clean. You see, you don't inhale very much smoke at all, and you can breathe it right out. You do it once in a bong, and then we just go on about our day, sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, this being my first time in the morning, this is where I take my normal big hits and everything. Ever since I quit my job. I found that the best thing I can do for my whole day is to go ahead and get situated in the morning.
I agree. And that's the best thing I can do is get my day.
You find that too?
I find I have to get my body in a good space to begin going out and doing what I need to do.
Yeah.
As a disabled person, even. That just means the laundry, walking the dog, taking a shower, getting dressed. All the things that normal people do. That I couldn't do before. I couldn't even do those things before. And now I can. I mean, those were
certainly
a struggle.
Yeah, it's certainly a lot easier.
It's a lot easier. And I don't mind doing it now. That's the best part.
So here's what I would say. Why don't we do like a little hit of like 20 milligrams of CBG. This would be my plan. And you can do whatever you like. Normally what I do is I'll take my THC concentrate that to be, you know, 1 to 5% CBG, and then I'll dip it and roll it around a little bit into the isolate powder, and then I take all that as a dab.
Okay.
That is, and I like to, so in the morning, the reason why I do it with a bong and everything else and why I weigh my doses generally, although you won't see me do that this morning, I don't think. Maybe we'll see. Like, I discovered that by taking 15 milligram hits, you know, little ones, and working my way up, like I could eventually get to where everything was free and broken loose and my pain was taken care of. But when I would take it as one big hit, it all worked better. I used less, and then I can just be done, and I don't have to stretch it out and be high over a longer period
That's
of time.
Good. That's good. You just do it once. You don't have to go throughout your day.
Right. Instead of taking 4 15 milligram hits, right. I can take 1 50 milligram hit, which is a little bit less. And then, you know, yeah, I get super duper high for a second and, you know, 15 minutes later.
Yeah. You function.
Yeah. So, all right, let's start off with some isolate. So what I'm going to do just for listeners at home thinking that we're not sharing the same bong. I have my own bong, which you have never touched. And this bong is clean. That you have another one.
I was muted that, yes, we wiped this one down with an alcohol. And sanitized it and filled it with clean water. You have not.
And it was clean before.
It was clean before, and now it was sanitized and cleaned again.
Yep. And what will happen is I will take this electric, it's basically a heated bowl, and it's heated with a cord with a little power supply thing. And I'll put it over in your bong, and you can do whatever you want.
Fantastic.
Now, only thing is if we use the same tool here, just want to clean. It'll all be good. I'm not worried about it. We'll just clean our hands up and touch your face and all that. So there's nothing, this is occurring. So when I've actually measured this, it's more like 600 degrees Fahrenheit. Nothing's going to survive that, I don't think. So it's almost impossible to weigh CBG because of fine white powder. So I just try and find a decent sized chunk.
It is almost impossible to weigh powder.
Yeah. Okay. This is a lot.
Okay,
this is a big one. So this is going to be CBG isolate.
Okay.
I'm going to take my mask off now. Why don't we try and work at opposite corners of the table
That's a good idea.
Yeah. So we're at least
6 feet apart from each other.
Yeah.
Okay. This is where
yeah.
we do that.
So first one here. We'll see how it feels.
Quite the inhale.
Yeah, that's you know, it's
your yoga
not
breathing.
A recreational technique.
No. Your yoga breathing is on point.
So, you know, when you take just raw CBG, you don't notice much. I certainly don't notice much. If I take it with, sometimes as I'm inhaling, if there's tissue that's tight, it'll pop or crack or break loose. And I mean, I've had sometimes my legs will pop, you know, my fibula has been recently, it's been kind of funky, but a lot of times with just straight CBG, it won't. So I'll have to go ahead and add something else.
Right.
So that's that. Do you want to do it next? Or do you want me to go through this progression?
You go through what you would do. Get yourself feeling good.
All right, so I'll just go.
You got to take care of you before you can take care of anybody else, right?
Yeah, we'll see. So no head change or anything. You know, it's about like, I think I told you before that CBG works the way that I wish CBD did.
Right.
So I had high hopes
for CBD doing so much. CBD will help just make you feel calmer about the fact that you're in pain. But it's not that I never found it actually treated my pain. It helped me sleep a little bit at first, but very quickly that effect wore off. But I still need it every night to help offset my THC and not
to help calm you down.
Yes, I still use it, and throughout the day I vape it.
So why don't I take a picture here of this, and maybe we can put it on the website too.
CBG isolate.
This is, the distillate, is what they call it.
Oh, no. Here, do you want me to?
It happens all the time. Yeah, if you want to.
I don't mind doing that.
Okay. I dropped my little... So this happens quite a bit. And then, you know, when you have a... You know, this would be $5 a concentrate that just fell on my floor if it wasn't a distillate, if it was a THC concentrate. Crazy. And then you're digging around on the ground for this little rock. I mean,
I know. I've been digging around on my floor for the weirdest little thing since I got into this.
Yeah, it's not.
Let's see here. Let's see if I can really. All right, there we go.
In this next segment, Jen and I discuss both strains and methods of consumption just a little bit. We do mention, Jen mentions that, you know, she didn't have success with all methods. I have generally had success with all methods. It just depends on what I'm trying to do. I used dry herb vaping for about a year for pain control, but it did not help in this new phase where that I talk about where I use the CBG. And I haven't, I do plan an upcoming show that will discuss kind of what I do and how the CBG works for me. And, you know, I talk about tissue tearing and that sort of thing. And that's a good thing. And that's what comes from it. The other part, I guess, that I want to make clear about the nail is that at least at 525 degrees, and I've measured it to be more like 600, this is well above combustion temperature. So it isn't, you know, people do call this method of using an electric nail or a blowtorch, sometimes they call that vaping. For my effects with the CBG, what I've found is that it does need to be above combustion temperature. So that's just a little note that, you know, may have been confused by our dialogue that's coming up here. You will hear me take a couple more dabs, and if you haven't heard it already, there's a scratching and scraping. That is the tool that has the cannabis extract on it, which is kind of like a paste, or it can be, I've heard it, RSO at least, or Rick Simpson oil. A very good comparison to that is Marmite. It's quite similar to that, Marmite or Vegemite. but yeah, so you pick this up on the little tool, and then this hot metal bowl at like 600 Fahrenheit. You scrape against it, and this gets vaporized. You'll hear me inhale for quite a long time. I inhale there. I don't have lung problems. I'm not a smoker, so I have good lung function. But I inhale low and slow, and then save enough air in my inhale and everything that I can clear all the smoke thing out of the bong. So this is something that I've practiced several times a day for a couple of years now. And you'll hear that I can pretty much take a pretty long inhale and, for the most part, cough and do that typical stoner talk that I do, that people do when they've got a lung full of smoke. One other thing about this, the extract that I'm using, or that I eventually use in here, the one that contains THC eventually, is from a dispensary in Maine. I did finally speak to them about their test results, and while they had test results for the flower, they make their concentrates from the trim, and they don't test it, so I don't have an idea of what all is in it in precise amounts, but it is medical grade. And as it turns out, that particular one, this is pretty common as you travel around the country. Lots of places don't require much testing, but that particular one actually did work quite well for me. And I know there's a lot of advice out there that tells you not to use cannabis that isn't tested, but if you're in a state where that's what's available, I hope to give people some pointers in an upcoming show too, as far as how to select strains whenever you have just a little bit of test information. Jen and I in here talk a little bit about the endocannabinoid system, and just wanted to say that you know, that was discovered right around 1990, depending on whether you're talking about the mouse model, the human model, or the actual endocannabinoids, which are all discovered in the time period between about 88 and 92. So this information's been around for about 30 years. It certainly wasn't in my anatomy textbook. That's enough about the endocannabinoid system now, because there's going to be a whole show on it eventually.
So one thing with CBG, I try and always blow the hit out of my nose, through my head and everything, because it's a really big anti-inflammatory.
Take it up to the sinuses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really... I mean, it does make your nose run sometimes,
right,
if it
right.
needs to. But
so do you push it down into your lungs first and then up and out your nose?
Yeah.
Okay.
Inhale through
and down into your lungs, and then exhale out through. Because there are people who don't understand that in the world. I came across people that don't know how to inhale.
Yeah.
You know, it's a technique you actually do have to learn, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I mean, with doing it this way, you need, like, doing a dab, you've got to have, like, lung-hand coordination.
Yes, we had to figure that out last time. I had to say, okay, I'm going to exhale, and when you hit the dab on there, that you tell me when to inhale.
Yeah. Oh, that's the other thing. You can start it. I can do the dab for you, and that does make it easier for a lot of people.
Yeah, because I was not sure how to go about this at all, and that's how we had to do it.
All right, so I haven't had any THC yet. This morning, like since what, 8 o'clock yesterday or something?
Yeah.
7 o'clock yesterday.
I think when you went outside, it was 20 after five when you went to your van.
Oh yeah.
And you were out there till about.
Oh, that's right. Till about 6:30 or
7. Yeah. Was that the last time?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then it's been a while. It's been well over 12 hours, 14 hours. You had a good night's sleep?
So now, yeah, not the best. I would sleep better if I had taken more, but I'm also trying to minimize.
Yes.
And I'm trying to do 2 times a day. That's what I did yesterday and the day before.
Good for you.
That way I can drive all day.
Yes, because that makes it difficult.
And then I try in the morning. I'm trying in the morning to not use any THC. And I was able to do that for 2 days, but there is something extra that occurs when you could. I no longer think that it necessarily needs to be combusted in the presence. THC and CBG need to be combusted together, but they do need to be combusted. There's something, yeah, it can't be a drier vape. Yeah, it's not a drier vape.
It's something that happens when you vape, yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. A little piece of CBG fell off onto the
There's something, I never got any results out of vaporizing flower. It's a total different reaction when you...
Dry herb vape?
Dry herb vaping flower didn't do anything, but when
really?
You smoke it, you know what, everybody knows it works when you smoke it, but dry vaporizing didn't work, so...
Really, even if you turn the temperature up to like...
Yeah, and the same with the concentrate in the fire, like in a vaporizer. Now, I think the e-nail is totally different.
Let's, because it's temperature controlled, I tell you, it's not worth doing dabs with a blowtorch. Like, don't even...
The people who do... who wants a blowtorch in their house?
I mean...
Seriously, I'm all right. I don't need a blowtorch for my medication.
And definitely, you know, in a van, it's such a fire hazard. I mean, this will already set things on fire.
Yeah, I really don't need to want that in my life.
So I'm going to do this hit of... So this is strawberry cough, and I actually bought this concentrate in... just while we're listing off federal offenses here. I bought this concentrate in Maine legally as a medical patient.
Yes.
And because I travel for a living, I'm now out of that state with it, and people will just have to deal with it. They can put me in jail for my sickness, I guess, but... That's the country that we live in. So let me do this hit with the strawberry cough.
All right.
Let's see how
it does
make you cough.
Down. Whoa. Now, I've tried the strawberry cough in a cartridge in the past, and I had good results with it. So this should be interesting.
So, I got this strawberry cough makes me cough.
They name things what they do for a reason, don't they? You really kind of find out where the names come from.
Yeah, you really do. I mean, the names sound goofy, but
they
it's
really
like,
and the red fruit in there is an indicator. You've taught me that.
Yeah, as far as we should totally talk about. Yeah, we will. What's in marijuana? Like what? How to choose strains. I want to do a whole show on that.
Yes.
Oh, excuse me.
You're fine. They totally call it cough.
So I asked for the test results on this. I bought this at a dispensary in Maine called Trican.
Uh-huh.
And I don't, you haven't taken a dab of this. If you want to, you're more than welcome. It is absolutely, you smelled it though, right?
I did. It smells like strawberry shortcake, the doll.
It smells like the doll.
The doll strawberry shortcake.
It's got a little bit of, it's got grapefruit to it. And so it smells yummy and it looks, you know, it's all this crystallized sugary stuff. It's pretty great to dose. It doesn't quite stick to the spoon well enough, but I can weigh it out still. And it picks up CBG when you roll it around there.
Okay.
But I've never had a strawberry cough that really did provoke the cough response so much. But there's something to this that it really makes it your really sinuses makes your and everything sinuses. Tingle. And I think that might be CBG because every once in a while, if I take a strong hit of CBG, and I can get that real similar effect to it.
Yeah. There are certain strains that do make my sinuses tingle and make me a little sneezy at first. Like,
do you remember any of them?
I want to say it's more citrusy ones.
Yeah,
doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's just an initial reaction, but it could help in the end. My sinuses are much clearer. I have allergies I didn't used to have.
Yeah.
I used to be allergic to pine very badly.
Uh-huh.
And since I got my medical marijuana card, I'm able to hike in pine trees and touch them without them causing the rash they used to cause or the breathing problems that the smell and the pinene doesn't cause me breathing problems the way it used to.
And do you have strains that have pinene in them?
I have strains with pinene in them, and they help me breathe better. While I've been told I'm allergic to pine my entire life.
You know.
I mean, we can go into that for days.
Yeah, the whole endocannabinoid system. Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, every time I talk to my mom, you know, she's never been comfortable with the weed at all, and she's never, you know, been high or smoked weed or anything. She would never condone it, but. She does always say, well, I'm just, you know, it's new information to me that we have an endocannabinoid system.
It is,
you know,
that's still new information.
She's from the medical community. I mean, she was a nurse for an OBGYN for like 25 years.
We've only found out within the last, 12 years that our body has an endocannabinoid system? Or the last 20 years? And that science has actually actually confirmed, like, yes, we do have this, and
we don't know what it does.
We don't understand it, but yes, our body has it.
Yeah, and to what extent that it is distributed, those receptors are distributed throughout your body is not, I don't think it's fully understood, or it's certainly an area of active research.
They've
just discovered that it was in fascia in 2012.
Wow.
And only in 2020, I'm definitely going to do a show on this. That paper that was published in April by the Italian group, Carlo Stecco's group, at the University of Padova, they just demonstrated in a petri dish that you can feed fasciocytes, or one of the cells that are in fascia, you can feed them a synthetic cannabinoid, and they secrete a joint lubricant, hyaluronic acid. I think I'm saying that correctly. Maybe I'm not. Anyway, I'm going to take another dab so what this is, again, is strawberry cough that's been dipped in CBG. I'm going to take a picture.
So this time you're doing it together. Would you like me to take a picture so you don't have to try to get your camera out?
This is my preferred way of doing it. Let me try and get the bong and the scale and everything in the back. Here we go. This is great. All right. It's so good to be here, by the way, and thank you.
It's so fantastic to be here.
Thank you for having me in your home.
In a
pandemic, and you know, we are
taking masks on and off as each other medicates.
We're taking 6 feet apart
from each other.
We're not like sharing glassware. We're not sharing. The only thing we are, we may share a tool or something, but we're going to wash our hands and keep clean and everything. I mean, this is one of the downsides of this medication. I certainly am not. If I could take a pill and not be high and get these same effects,
I wish
I would totally do it.
Yes.
If I could take a pill and not be high and just get pain relief. I mean, originally all I ever sought this for was for pain relief.
Me too.
And I think that that's going to lead to a nice segue on how you and I met and kind of what we're doing here. And so why don't we just do that then?
Exactly how we met. Vaping of nicotine. A recipe forum for making vape juice. Most random of places.
Yeah. And here I am, this guy, in you know, pretty devastating pain. I think in 2017, 2017, that means I was off fentanyl then. So I'd already been through fentanyl when you came on.
Yes.
Oh, you didn't know me when I was on fentanyl.
No, I did not. Yeah. And I had a morphine pump in my back, and I was on several oral opiate pain medications as well. Morphine, tramadol, the list, those were the opiates I was on in addition to the morphine that was being put into my spine.
That's what you were taking every day.
Every day.
And so you had a morphine pump implanted in your pelvis, like in your back.
In my
somewhere.
Back. It was at first in my stomach, but it moved. It flipped over. Then it was implanted in my back.
So you had to have two separate surgeries to implant this.
This
pump?
This whole pump thing in total, I had 1, 2, 3, 4 surgeries. This pump required because it had to be replaced, removed, reattached. Wait. The first time they put it in my stomach, it flipped over. They went back in, they reattached it. It flipped over again. Then they moved it to my back. Then once they finally got it settled in my back, then they tried to get it to work right. Then it didn't work right, and they just kept increasing the dosage until I said no.
And so what this pump did was it ran through a little tube or something. That little tube went into your...
That goes into the T-spine that is still in there. The catheter is still there. In my thoracic spine.
Do you know at what level?
I don't know at what level. They left it in there when they took the pump out. The pump did eventually end up breaking loose and hitting my spine before I got it removed.
I think that's right around the time when we met.
That was the end of 2018.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, November 2018, I got that pump removed. Before I got off any of the, before I got medical marijuana, I already knew the plan was in place.
So can I, like I don't want to, all right. I want people to now take a second and think about what we just said.
Yeah.
That you just had 4 surgeries to deal with the pump, to deal that you had implanted so that you could get rid of or reduce the pain, the intolerable pain that you were
and
in.
And not take any more pain medication.
You presumably did not have a satisfactory solution to this before this point and were willing to, well, to the extent that willing is the even the...
This is what they suggested was the next option. Like, there's nothing else. Yes. Like, you can't keep taking pain medication, so we're going to put it in a pump.
Right. So, I want to let people think about that for a second.
Yeah.
And I want to take this dab on the spoon. Because
I don't want you to spill it.
This is the difference. You know, I mean, morphine pump, which we can, I think we should talk about how your life was on that morphine pump. Let's talk about how your life was on that morphine
pump.
It was
awful. That morphine pump, it was a constant. I had to go get it filled at this certain time, and I had to go into a sterile environment where they put a needle through my skin into the soft part of this pump to fill it with morphine, and then they would program it to release medicine at certain times, which I never felt any relief from. And I kept telling the doctor, I don't feel like it's helping. He told me it's helping more than you know once. Another time he told me I would help more if I tried his diet shake plan. Another time, he told me, you'll feel better when medical marijuana comes legal. That was the last time I saw him. And that was the right call. That was the only right thing he said. The only right thing that doctor said.
So you don't feel like you had a good pain doctor?
Not at all.
In this segment, Jen describes her ordeal with the morphine pump a little further, including the several surgeries she needed to install and replace it in different locations. The filling process sounds pretty inconvenient to me, and I really fail to see how this option was ever preferable to cannabis, but I'll let you guys be a judge to that.
All right, so you were getting a needle inserted first into your stomach and eventually into your pelvis after they had had several, 4 surgeries to move it around and whatnot, to refill this pump of morphine that still has you still have the tube, the catheter in your back,
yes,
down to where it was, but they took the pump out.
Yes.
Which, after it hit your spine and was uncomfortable for you.
Yeah. So yes, there's no words to describe what it felt like for that pump to be inside my body, number one, either whether in my stomach or in my back.
So could you feel it running?
You could feel it there all the time. It was like having a hockey puck in your body.
All right. So you felt there was definitely an implant.
It was always, and there's always something. There's no way of having something like that in your body in a comfortable way.
And how big was it?
It felt, it was about the size of a hockey puck approximately.
And I mean, yeah. I bet it didn't weigh nothing. I mean,
it
ran
heavy.
On batteries.
That's why when I stood up the first time after the surgery, it flipped in my stomach. Like, it came unattached to my core muscles because I didn't have strong enough core muscles for it to be attached to in the first place. which was something they should have checked before recommending the surgery. Were there core muscles to attach this pump to? No. First, you need to build core muscles if you're going to get this pump. You can't do that in order to get the pump without the pain relief.
So, as far as I'm concerned, why are they offering that an option to you ahead of... So, this is just the option that they're offering to you.
Just because you're now addicted to painkillers. Yes, and we can't give you weed, and we have given you as much oral pain medication as we can.
Now, did they give you this morphine pump before or after they offered you methadone?
After. But I was already on... I had already been on... At the time they gave me the morphine pump, I was on Dilaudid and OxyContin together.
So you were taking...
The morphine pump was to replace Dilaudid
pills
and OxyContin.
So you must have used the OxyContin for your just pain level and then the Dilaudid for breakthrough pain?
It was Dilaudid morning, OxyContin every 12 hours, and then Dilaudid every 6 hours they were giving me for my pain. And then it was morphine pump. And then I got the morphine pump, and it was no different than the pills. No pain relief. Plus, I have now extra pain from this pump just being in my body. That doesn't seem to be... And now it's not treating my pain, as the pills were not really giving me any relief. And now I have more pain. So now they're giving me the morphine pump and the pain to treat, and medicine to treat the pain the morphine pump's causing. So, and then they wanted to add a spinal cord stimulator. Because they thought, well, now if we add the spinal cord stimulator, that's very successful. How would adding that? And that's when I said, stop. That was where I drew the line. You're not doing anymore. You've already did so many surgeries on my back, my spine. I have 3 fusions, my left SI joint, my right SI joint, and a fusion at L4, L5. Yeah, and then there's a lot of issues up top as well that I've never had surgically addressed. I have a lot of degenerative disc disease, spinal stenosis, herniated discs. They've wanted to go in and try to do cortisone injections, nerve burning, and so on and so forth. I started doing a little with the upper while they were doing the lower, and I was just like, I can't keep affording all of this treatment and all of these needles. And I decided with the upper spine, no one is going to touch that with anything. No surgery, unless... No. Nobody's going to operate on that upper spine or do anything. What they did with my lower back made it worse, I feel. I would have been better off had they just given me weed and told me to exercise.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know myself that if they would have told me that, I would have listened. I don't know.
I don't know if I would have listened. Maybe I just would have used the weed and got addicted to weed and became a stoner and heavy. And I don't know. But I did have to go through all of that to end up here, to not want to just be a stoner sitting around doing nothing, because I've been sitting around doing nothing for so many years on the opiates they gave me.
Right.
So right there, there's the big myth. This is not what, medical marijuana is not going to make you sit around eating, playing video games all day. It gives you the chance to actually have an active life.
So, honestly, since my discovery of that humans have an endocannabinoid system, my thoughts on words like stoner and that whole concept has really changed. The bottom line is that we have this system that everyone's ignoring. It's been ignored. And those of us that have diseases of this system, in my case, I've had to accept the some level of intoxication from THC. I just plain cannot get around it in 3 years of testing. But I am hopeful that I will need less and less, and that someday I definitely think it's possible that I won't need cannabinoids at all, at least phytocannabinoids, that I'll have my own internal cannabinoids. So the way that I'm going to do that is stay out here on the road and hike this beautiful country and generate my own damn cannabinoids so that I don't have to buy them off yet another predatory industry in America that really monetizes my health. That's not what I'm looking to do. So, all right, well... That was just the beginning of my interview with Jen. Unfortunately, the audio is, you know, from that point on, it's pretty tough with Ziggy. But he did a really good job for us with sitting there for quite a while, and that's what I wanted to give you here first. I think the next show that I'm going to put up will probably be the description of what started happening to me. This is already on LinkedIn. I think I'm definitely emotionally there to do it because they're very happy events, even if they're quite shocking. Anyway, thank you very much for listening to the Origami Vancast and networking with other people that have been healed by cannabis all over the world. And I just, you know, hope to spread it far and wide, because there's really a lot of potential here when you look at what we have missed in our knowledge and our medical knowledge. So I'm really excited to share it with you. I'm really excited that Jen was the first person that I sort of, you know, shared this with in a way that actually helped them. And I'm really honored that anybody even takes what I say into consideration. It's a big responsibility. I shouldn't say that. It's an honor, and I appreciate it. But please, you know what's worked for me. I've been in a rather extreme situation for quite a long time, and I don't know how general my results are going to be. But certainly, Jen has had good results, and I look forward to speaking with her on some other shows as well. Thanks again.